This week, Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is Oro, the Quest expansion, and I have the masterminds behind the game themselves. I have Keith and Blake with me today. How's it going, guys?
Hello.
Hi.
So... Well, thanks for joining me on the show today. I'm glad that you guys can make it.
Yeah, anytime. It's good to get some coverage for the expansion, for the Kickstarter.
Definitely. Well, why don't you guys tell the listeners a little bit about yourselves, about your company, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, okay. We started making games together probably actually in, like, what, was it 2007 or something? 2006, 2007? Just like, you know, for fun, kind of. And then we made 100 Rogues, which some people may have heard of. It was a roguelike sort of top-down, randomly generated RPG-ish sort of thing, if people don't know what roguelikes are. It was one of those for iPhone, and that went pretty well. And but then we started making Oro in, like, 2011. And we've been working on that ever since. And that's our first self-published game. We actually started our company formally. And, yeah, so that's right. I mean, Blake, I don't know. Do you want to add anything to that?
Well, we met in a music conservatory, actually. We both went to college for music composition. And we both are composers and songwriters. And we met in college and... I guess slowly over the course of time, we realized that the disciplines of game design and visual art are what people will pay for, and music is not what people will pay for these days.
All right, sounds good. So, well, it's exciting because Oro was originally a Kickstarter that you guys did as well, correct?
Yeah, we did two Kickstarters for it, actually. The first one we did didn't make it. We asked for, I think, 14,000, I think, yeah. Or no.
Yeah, something like that. 14. It was around 14.
14,000, and we didn't make it. And then we did it again. We did a big whole redesign. We redesigned the main Oro character. We did all kinds of stuff. And with the second one, and that that made it. Actually, we asked for half as much, and we got twice as much as what we asked for. So we got what we originally wanted for the first Kickstarter.
Yeah. It's funny how it works out that way sometimes,
yeah.
Right? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, Blake. And that amount still, you know, that went right out the door because that pays a coder to work for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
So people, yeah, I guess people don't understand the investment and time and skill that it takes to, you know, develop these games. So it takes a lot more than what people probably think it takes.
Well, it's funny.
For sure.
It's funny. Both of us, to pay the bills, work freelance, and, without fail, we get a lot of emails from would-be indie developers who want to make it, it's every time. It's their love letter to Metroid. It's their love letter to Chrono Trigger. It's their love letter to all these games that we love as kids. And they have, you know, $1,000, $500, and they email us asking us to do all the art assets for the entire game. And Keith, didn't you one time just email someone back the artist credits for Final Fantasy VI or something?
Yeah, somebody wanted something that was basically, like, they're like, I want it to be, you know, the scope of Final Fantasy VI, which was, you know, the last Super Nintendo Final Fantasy, and it was huge. And I looked at the list, I went to Moby Games and looked up the list of artists that worked on the game, and it was like, I think it was around 30 people, and I just sent him that, and I was like, this is what it took to make Final Fantasy VI, so if you want me to do it, I'm going to be on... for a long time and a lot of money. So
yeah.
So that's the thing for our company. You know, we've been doing this basically out of our garage, so to speak, for the last 4.5 years. That's why it took so long. If we had the proper capital and we had the proper infrastructure and we could afford personnel, we probably would have gotten Oro done in under a year. But we had to just keep a roof over our heads, and you know, all we had to invest was our own sacrifice and elbow grease.
Yeah, definitely. You can't quit your day jobs in order to, you know, do this thing. So you have to do both and manage your time and all those things. I understand that. You know, I have a day job too, and I have to manage all my different shows that I do, and it's a task, definitely.
Yeah. It's true.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about the new Kickstarter?
You know, we've been working on Aura for a long time, and we're really happy with, like, what it is. You know, it has this super competitive single-player play mode, which I think is pretty unique. There's not a lot of games out there that have something like that. And, excuse me, I'm a little bit sick, so if my voice sounds a little strange, it's just because I'm just getting over a cold. But
how dare you for being sick?
Yeah. But we wanted to make something that's more in the language of, like, modern video games. Because Oro kind of isn't. It's, you know, people aren't used to, in a single-player game, especially one that has, like, you know, nice-looking art and like, a fantasy theme and all this stuff, they're really just not used to, like, going in and then just getting, like, a you-lose screen, you know? Like, that's something they expect when they play an online multiplayer game, but they just don't really expect that so much with a single-player game right now, just because there's not a lot of games that do that. So we wanted something that's a little bit more toy-like and a little bit more RPG-ish and just generally more in the language of modern video games that you can kind of play with a bit more so that you can, like, dive in, you could try out different strategies, you could explore, you can find different, you know, magic items and stuff, and that's really the basic idea behind quest mode, which is the cornerstone of this expansion that we're doing.
Well, also I should quickly say what Oro really is, which is it's a tactics game that basically the elevator pitch is you bump monsters into the water and then you score points. And the way the game gets complex is that you have these spells, all of which do different things, and they mix together, and if you get really good, you start combining all the spells and create these big Rube Goldberg machine, like chain reactions, and like get all these crazy combos and get high score multipliers. And what Keith was saying about how video games don't usually work this way, think of it like kind of a pocket chess or solitaire, except the matches are 10 minutes tops. They're very short matches, and you have a score goal to beat at this level of difficulty, meet 35 points, at this level of difficulty, 45 points. It actually levels to your skill level. So if it's looked at like pocket solitaire or chess or Tetris, something that's really deep and replayable that you could play over and over and over again, it's something people would understand. But like Keith said, it has fantasy elements and animation and pixel art, and it's like looks like a Zelda-ish kind of thing. And so I guess that was what maybe was a little confusing to people. But so yeah, this quest mode is a way to keep all that really cool original gameplay, that core gameplay about bumping the monsters and doing all the crazy combos, but it's in a larger, looser kind of fun campaign with, you know, it's less punishing, it's less, like, every move doesn't count as much, and it has all kinds of fun thematic stuff and familiar RPG-esque things. So we figure it's a hybrid between our new system and a familiar system.
No, that's really cool. And so as we're recording today, you guys still have a good month or so, 22 days left to go on the Kickstarter, and the Kickstarter ends on July 2nd, so that by the time people are listening to this, you'll still have plenty of time to go and check out the Kickstarter and back it. And so how do you guys feel things are going right now for the Kickstarter?
I mean, I think mathematically speaking, you know, just numerically and based on the research I've done about other Kickstarters, right now we're definitely behind where we need to be. The first few days are pretty crucial, and you know, so we wish we were a lot further along than we are. But you know, we've been getting really good press coverage, and we expect to see some more soon. And so we're optimistic about it. But we're definitely behind where we need to be, right? Or like where we wanted to be right now, you know? Go on.
Sorry. I just wanted to go off of that and say, we think the reason for that, it might be because, we're having a hard time conveying to people, especially the mobile community, what Oro is, because people might look at this campaign and they might say, an expansion to like a mobile game? You mean like one of those, you know, throwaway, you know, match three colors or endless runners of infinite IAPs and like pay to win? There's so much cynicism and so much kind of mistrust in the mobile market right now. And I think deservedly so. I don't blame people for having that distrust. But Oro is nothing like that. It is a no IAPs. It is a buy it once and you can play it forever and ever. Like, we, our best fans, we released in February on Apple, and our biggest fans have played upwards of 2,000 games.
Nice.
It is one of those things that's just in your pocket forever. And so really what we're trying to impress upon people is it's like a real deep, serious strategy video game that happens to be on the iPhone. And it's sort of a PC game at heart. So people who love strategy games and don't have any good strategy games for their phone, this is the game for them. It's just we're having a hard time reaching those people. And that might be why the Kickstarter is slow to get started.
Definitely. So who's leading? I know you guys are both illustrators, but are you guys working together to do the art for Oro? Or is someone taking the lead more than
Blake
the other?
Blake is the lead artist, and I'm the lead designer. Those are our general roles. Like, we both, like, influence each other and everything. But, like, yeah, Blake is the art guy, if you want to talk about art stuff, I would say.
Well, I just wanted to comment that I think the artwork is fantastic and looks great. So if nothing else, that's a drawing feature for a lot of people and myself. Like, I found, you know, going through Kickstarter, you know, I peruse daily because of this show, basically. And I saw it and I'm like, ooh, I like the way that looks. And so that, you know,
hey,
definitely got me to click on it. So
that was exactly the motivation for making that drawing. So I'm glad it worked on at least one person.
There you go. It worked on me.
I'm glad you like it. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, so just so you know, I am the lead artist. Basically, I did all the art for Oro. And sometimes we wish we had money to hire a graphic designer and an environment artist or other people to help. But yeah, I've done every pixel you see was hand done over the course of many, many years. So I'm glad that, you know, you like it. But anyway, Keith is the lead designer, and Keith designs the rules of the game. Like, the guy who designed chess, he decided the knight goes up one and over, up two and over one or whatever. Like, that's Keith's job. He designed the game. I didn't design it. He designed it. He didn't do the art. I did the art.
Yeah. Well, so were there any games, Keith, that you drew inspiration from or any other type of media?
You know, loosely. I mean, the main thing was I would say that Oro's design was more from scratch than most video games are, in that I started with, like, Rogue, you know, the roguelike type of games, like 100 Rogues was also, which was our first game. And I really wanted to, like, boil it down. 100 Rogues was already kind of boiled down, but I wanted to boil it down a lot more. And what was interesting was I just boiled everything down, everything off that seemed like noise or like chaff or was just random nothing. I just wanted to boil all that stuff off and just see what was like at the core. And I kind of figured out that there was no core. There was just it was just entirely based on random dice rolls. Like that's really what it all kind of was coming down to. And so I had to sort of create a new core gameplay mechanism from scratch. And that's where the whole bumping things into the water concept came from. And, you know, I guess it's a little bit related to something like Smash Brothers, or it's a little bit related to, I don't know, sumo wrestling. I also often thought a lot about if anyone's played Mario 64, the level with the lava level where you have the bully bomb guys and they're trying to push you off into the water. People may know what I'm talking about there, into the lava.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, those guys, I always like those. They're trying to push you and you can push them back. So anyway, but the idea was, you know, we have this grid. Let's use it. Let's, like, make the grid really matter. That's something that really always bothered me about roguelikes, was that you have this giant grid. It's so much complexity. Like, if you go back to thinking about something like chess or Go, you know, these games, I mean, or chess or shogi, maybe better examples, you know, chess has 8x8 grid. It's like tiny, and yet we have people studying it for hundreds of years and who can't master it. And why is that? And then why is it that Rogue is like, you know, the grid is probably like 1,000 by 1,000 or something, and yet like it seems totally solvable. So like what exactly is going on there? And that was sort of the basis for like how do we you know build a system that is just inherently deep. You know, and that's really what I was going for with the rules for Oro.
Well, that's really cool, and I could really appreciate that. And that's, I think you guys are definitely headed in the right direction. It looks great, you know, and it has a good feeling about it. And I, you know, I hope that the Kickstarter picks up as the press releases and everything come out. So that's it's exciting. I mean, I think it's just super cool that you guys are two guys over the years making something that you love and you're passionate about, and that's something definitely that I can get behind and appreciate. I feel that people that I can feel how much you guys are really passionate about your game, and that's it is apparent, and it's really cool. So
well, do you know the figure of speech, necessity is the mother of invention?
Yes.
Well, the reason we care so much about Oro is because I know a lot of developers say their game is different, but our game is not a puzzle platformer that's been reskinned for the umpteenth time. It's not a glorified point-click adventure. It's with a arty theme. It truly is, mechanically, from the ground up, something truly different. And it's basically, one of our big mottos in development was, we don't want to waste your time. Meaning, none of the decisions you make in the game are a no-brainer. There's no grinding. There's no choose between two things. There's no labor. There's no chores. Like, no collecting. No moving a box all the way from one side of a room to another. Things that are no-brainers that simply just take your time but don't engage your decision-making. In Oro, every single move, every single turn has ramifications on the game state. There are zero no-brainers in the game, or at least if there are, they are like so on the fringes, and we are working hard to stomp them out. We really do think it's a game changer. We think it's something that the world needs, something that's filling a need, and so it's just a matter of reaching our audience, reaching people who love strategy games.
Yeah, the necessity thing that you were saying, I've been playing video games my whole life, but in recent years, in probably I'd say the last decade, I've just found myself being unable to really engage with modern video games very much, like with a few exceptions. And even the ones I do engage with, like for example, I play League of Legends, and I just started playing like a year ago, and I feel like I can play it, but it's just such a huge. There's so much downtime. It's like such a huge investment. One game is like an hour of my time, and very few, like the percentage of that hour that's really something interesting is happening is like super small. So that's what I mean by necessity, is like we really wanted to make something that's like, you know, I have 1 hour a day to play games, so I want that hour to like really count. And so that, you know, that's why we made Oro, because like that. Through this little machine, you can get that. You can get that thing where, you know, I don't know, 80 to 90, 95% of my time is all, and my decisions are all counting, and very few of, like, I have very little, you know, running to get back to where gameplay is happening, or, you know, fighting, just like clicking on an AI monster until it dies, or, you know, all these things that are really just come down to labor. So that's the necessity that I think that I hope that we are filling.
Yeah, and
no, it's really I think it's a fantastic idea, and I definitely can appreciate the new outlook and the new way to approach the game. That's for sure.
I wanted to say on that's a good way of putting it. What Keith just said, how like picture a normal game session playing even a strategy game like Civilization or like League of Legends or whatever. And just ask yourself, as good as those games are and as many great moments they have in them and as many really great features they have in them, take 2 hours of playtime and ask yourself what percentage of that time was actually interesting. As in, it actually engaged your decision making, it actually engaged your brain, and how much of it was clicking through a lot of no-brainers. And if you, and we found ourselves through the years, both of us grew up playing tons and tons of video games, and both of us through the years started to realize, like, you know, large swaths of game time were spent doing, really doing nothing. And we wanted to make something that you, the whole time you're doing something interesting. And, so 10 minutes at 100% interesting beats an hour at 10% interesting, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. So everyone listening, if you want a game that totally engages you, and this is definitely something you should check out. So, guys, why don't you tell us where people could find out more about Oro and maybe about you guys and your company?
Sure. Well, so our company is Dino Farm Games. That's dinofarmgames.com. We have a big forum that's kind of active if people want to come by and chat with us and talk and see what we're doing and what we're working on. That's always good. We're also up on Greenlight right now, on Steam Greenlight. Maybe you could provide a link somewhere in the show notes. And we're on Kickstarter, of course, and we've got a Facebook and a Twitter. Just look up Dino Farm Games on those. I've got my own site, too, where I write game design things at keithpergun.net. I think, Blake, any other things that I'm forgetting about?
I want to say one last thing, which is this is just another sort of talking point about Oro that we think is positive. You know how in a lot of games when you like beat them and go back and play them for a second time or whatever, you start to like do speed runs or you start to do style point stuff, really slick stuff that is not the most efficient way to win. Usually in a lot of single player games, the most efficient way to win is just get the most powerful weapon and just sort of spam through the whole game. But then you go back just for like kicks. You do these weird, crazy things that are hard to pull off and all these style points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, in Oro, you have to do the most interesting stuff if you want to win. The style points is how you play. Meaning the decision space is so tight that if you want to, like, you have two health left and you have like one spell left and you have to kill five monsters or something, you have to do some weird, crazy, interesting, innovative, creative stuff to make that happen. So you don't do style point stuff out of boredom or curiosity. You do them out of necessity. And that's another thing that we think is very special about the game. So I just wanted to close with that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And thanks again, guys, for coming on the show. And good luck with the future of Oro and everything on your Kickstarter. And I appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And go ahead.
I just said thank you very much.
Yeah,
oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, you're welcome. And thanks to Dan Patrice for our intro and outro. And you can find him at the Geek All-Stars. And remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on the Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.